superchargers, headlights, and more. With over 122 million parts, eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Stay on your A-game with all the parts you need at the prices you want. It's easy to bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
This podcast is brought to you by Microsoft Teams. When there's more ways to be together, there are more ways to be a team.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
I'm sure you heard it earlier this year, Drew, and I'll place it in front of you, as I was always keen to know what you thought about the fact that you can't throw down the field anymore, apparently.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
Who are the ones making those statements, and do they know anything about football?
Today's guests, Baltimore Ravens quarterback Lamar Jackson, co-host of Good Morning Football, Kyle Brandt, ESPN SportsCenter host Scott Van Pelt, plus actor David Cross. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Come on, EJ.
All right, hour number two of the Rich Eisen Show is on the air. We had a great chat with Lamar Jackson. Yesterday we had Drew Brees as well. That's how we roll. That's how we roll. We want to get you the best guests possible, certainly from the National Football League, a sport that I adore. Kyle Brandt is part of the tentpole NFL Network show, Good Morning Football, and he'll be joining us as always here in the on a Wednesday. Always fun and delightful when he joins us. Nate Boyer, man who served many tours of duty overseas and for our great country. As a matter of fact, he would serve overseas and then go back and serve as the Texas Longhorns long snapper. And Seattle gave him a shot in the NFL as well. And he and Jay Glazer are partners in Merging Vets and Players, which is an organization that helps veterans both from theaters of war and serving our country, as well as also coming off the field of play in various sporting endeavors to try and make sure that everybody's got their heads on as straight as possible as they're trying to get back into civilian life. It's a great organization. And Nate wrote a terrific piece in the Players Tribune today in honor of Veterans Day, and we will be having Nate on in this hour. Scott Van Pelt will join us from Augusta National at the top of hour number three, and David Cross, who played the great Tobias Funke in Arrested Development. He is in a far more serious fare this time around called The Dark Divide, which is available now on VOD, digital and Blu-ray DVD platforms. He'll be talking with us in hour number three. So this is a story that got my attention on ESPN and ESPN.com. Their website got my attention, not just for the headline and the story, but for one of the all-time. This has to go into the Hall of Fame of information bet hedging of all time. You know, they're likely to, okay. There's likely to, there's plans okay. to, there's expected to, you know what I mean? And all of that stuff. Because, you know, information men and women in our business have to hedge their bets because nothing's a certainty. So let's take it one at a time here. Woj and Tim McMahon wrote that sources, James Harden, Russell Westbrook concerned about direction of Houston Rockets. Daryl Morey's gone. Mike D'Antoni's gone, and now it's up to Harden and Westbrook to, I guess, learn a new system or whatever's coming. They don't know. Now, you know, TJ, there's rumors of your Sixers with Daryl Morey being interested in acquiring Harden.
That's the word.
I don't know how they fit him in since Al Horford, I do believe, is boxing out Tobias Harris for who has more money going into the Franklin Mint in Philadelphia. I think they're neck and neck as to who's owed more guaranteed dollars. That is absurd based on the production we saw out of both of them last year. And how does Daryl Morey solve this Philadelphia Rubik's Cube with Ben Simmons and obviously Joel Embiid there, and Embiid was embraced by Daryl Morey. I mean, right from the very beginning, Daryl Morey
gave him
a verbal embrace. My gosh, yes. And we had, you know, as you know, Brian Windhorst on the show talking about that last week, saying that Morey does not get rid of stars. He acquires them. Mm-hmm. That's what he does. If I had to give you a choice between Harden and Westbrook, who you'd want on Philadelphia, you'd choose which one?
Well, it's funny you say that because rumors are that Westbrook could be headed to the Clippers. So I could get both of them. But for the Sixers, James Harden would be.
Would be the guy
be
that
the
you
guy.
Would take, right?
Yeah.
I mean, the question is...
No offense to Russ.
No, I know that. Those two guys are still on Houston, wondering what's going on. According to Woj and Tim McMahon, neither of them have requested a trade. However, you ready for this one? This is quite a... Although neither player has requested a trade at this point, that scenario has become... And this is... hold on a minute. I got to get a drink of water because I don't want to pull a cramp here. Because I could hurt myself.
You got to be hydrated.
Although
things,
neither
man.
Player has requested a trade at this point, that scenario has become, quote, a plausible eventual possibility.
Oh, my gosh.
That plausible is eventual. That's in the Hall of Fame.
I'm writing that down.
It's not definite. It's possible. And it is not imminent. It's eventual. And it is not a certainty, it's a possibility. Plausible eventual possibility is just a Hall of Fame phrase that you need to write down. It's so good, I don't even think we could debase it by saying it's a future fantasy team name.
It would be an amazing fantasy team name.
I mean, plausible eventual possibility is all, I mean, that's, we have to use that.
Did Woj come up with that? Because
I don't know.
Remember
whoever
on draft
did.
Night, the things he was using to tip picks.
Right.
Oh, I know that.
Yeah,
he is
years
the king
ago.
Of synonyms. He is. I know.
So it sounds like that's a Woj creation.
A plausible eventual possibility is like the triple Lindy of information contortion and bet hedging.
That was also a Pink Floyd album.
What? Which is... Plausible eventual possibility?
Yeah, I think you're right
about that. That's totally
it. It's plausible that it could happen.
You start that album on the third line or
look, they're not saying
play through.
They're not saying a trade request has happened. Okay. They've confirmed that. Although neither player has requested a trade at this point. The scenario has become a plausible eventual possibility. Which is just
is.
I mean, honestly, that is
wow.
That's up there. I mean, if you want to have like a Mount Rushmore for this sort of stuff, wardrobe malfunction is the George Washington, right?
I think so, yeah.
Whoever in the Justin Timberlake orbit said, you know what, let's just call this a wardrobe malfunction that happened in front of the entire nation.
100 million people.
Yeah, in front of 100 million people.
400 countries.
That was the end of all all future halftimes being produced by anybody except the NFL. That was the end of that.
Yep.
I think MTV was, in fact, in charge of that because it was a Viacom CBS Super Bowl.
Yep.
And it was Kid Rock, and it was Janet Jackson, it was Justin Timberlake. And I just remember how Justin Timberlake was like a four-letter word in the NFL for – like a full year. Like, they were livid. They were furious. They were livid. How does that happen? And then the next year, we're in Jacksonville. The next year at the Super Bowl was in Jacksonville, and I was at the commissioner's party. And who was back-to-back with Paul Tagliabue inside the inner circle, inside the VIP area? Cause
oh, yeah.
That's how I roll, Mikey?
I've been in that.
No.
Oh, yes, I have.
The VIP circle.
Yes.
Of the tailgate.
I totally have. I'll show you my passes. I've gotten given them. They were
by
given
the way, there's
me.
There's no way you have those passes
100%.
Still.
I have every pass I've ever had. Okay. I collect them. I'm a collector.
Mike, just let Rich have his moment.
I'm sorry, Rich. Rich, you can have your moment, though.
Whatever.
I'm sorry.
Gosh.
Rich gets them every year.
Remember, Timberlake was back-to-back with Tagliabue. Neither of them knowing that the other guy that was on the other, just like they were talking to other people. I don't know how they just wound up in the same room. I thought to myself, how the hell did Timberlake, I guess he's that popular.
Well, he got the halftime again.
Year later.
He got to do a halftime again.
By the way, he got off scot-free.
Yeah.
And kinda, Janet Jackson the one who wore the Scarlet Letter for that.
Yeah.
Even to this day, it seems like.
He did a halftime show after that.
They actually planned it, right? They planned it.
Oh, 100%.
I can't say that one way or another, but one person definitely took the brunt of the anger in that situation.
If that was not planned and that's just how Janet Jackson rolled with her jewelry, good for her. I feel like that was planned for the photo op.
Wardrobe malfunction is up there along with plausible eventual possibility. Just,
that is a great.
Mike, that should be your boat name.
That's actually a great boat name.
And then there was another one today. Amy Palchik of the, Houston Texans PR staff, who was just a delight to deal with, a major, major league professional. She got let go by the Texans today. Adam Schefter was the one who broke that news. And, here's the phrase that is used here as well. I want to make sure I get this correct. She was no longer, quote unquote, a cultural fit. That's another.
What is that?
I don't know. All I know is they fired a PR professional and need one to spin it. What the hell does that mean? She's not a cultural fit. All I know is she was a delight to deal with last year in London. Couldn't have been more of a lead pipe wielding professional. All the spin in this world, man. But at any rate, not to get too far in the weeds. Do the Rockets? What are the odds that Russell Westbrook and James Harden are on the same floor in the same uniform December 22nd when they tip off the season?
Do the Sixers play the Clippers in that first game? Because there's a chance they could be on the same floor.
In the same uniform.
Oh, that one's a little different.
I would say very well. I would say very well. Although, we'll see. I mean, they have a new head coach, obviously, Steven Silas, so.
Paul's kid, huh?
Yeah.
Making just another situation making you feel older.
Yeah, for sure.
I guess they haven't met to their satisfaction yet. You think you're in the new coach? Your first call is to set up a Zoom with both, I would say. But
the Westbrook Harden experiment was not successful. I think we can all agree on that, right? They didn't seem to work out together.
Well, last year didn't seem to work out for the Rockets at all. No, that would be correct.
But just those two guys, their playing styles, the volume in which they both need the basketball, it didn't seem a fit from the get-go. It was a confusing trade to me to begin with.
NBA draft is next week. And so what we'll have to do for next week is what we did last week with the four basketball players. I mean, four football players that are fictional players who would be ranked, who should be chosen number one.
That was so fun.
We got to come up with four basketball players. The problem is that, you know, they're all played by actual NBA stars.
Yes.
We've already started this process last week.
Right. We should allow, because like obviously you just look at the cast of Blue Chips. Like,
yeah, I mean, let's be honest. Neon Bordeaux would go number one, period.
I think so, can't have Shaq as the guy.
Yeah,
you know?
We have to eliminate him.
That's why.
But I'm down with Teen Wolf.
Teen Wolf,
I think, is
Air
fun.
Air Bud is definitely in. I'm in for Air Bud.
But the Jimmy Chitwood is obviously
was my first choice.
Yeah, but let's be honest. Jimmy Chitwood's not getting drafted number one.
So I think you could say is who's worthy of being drafted, period.
I mean, there's a long list of people there.
Lottery? Could we just call it a lottery? Like, which one of these guys would you take in the lottery?
Yeah, in the lottery.
Tweety Bird from...
Again, that's the thing, is that how many football players in movies were played by football players?
Yeah.
Right?
A couple.
Longest Yard.
But not many that
were
included on the list.
No.
You know?
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Like you
we
could
used
still...
Jamie Foxx and Keanu Reeves.
Right. And yeah. we could have gone Dennis Quaid and everybody's all American, right? I mean, yeah. we could have done
he was
all
also
that.
Also at any given Sunday.
The problem is Twitter only gives us four slots.
Right.
And so everyone's like, well, what about, what about? We can only put four people.
All I'm saying is that we have our work cut out for us on that front.
But I think we all need to come to an agreement that like no actual NBA players can be included
on the list. Of course not.
Like Fletch?
Well, then that is going to take away Jesus Shuttlesworth from our draft.
Exactly.
Yeah, but you can't have which NBA player, which fictional basketball player from movies is a lottery pick, and the answers are Penny Hardaway, Shaq, and Ray Allen.
Exactly, what
are we doing?
So we'll just have to limp for the purpose of this?
It's much better to say which fictional football player should be number one overall when it's a choice between Keanu Reeves,
Adam Sandler,
Tom Hanks,
I missed
Jamie Foxx.
So that's
going to be a better construct. We can't say which player deserves to be number one overall when one of them was actually taken number one overall.
So that's the caveat. We eliminate real players from the pool. How about that?
Right. I mean, well, because we can include Chevy Chase because he was 6'6", but 6'9", with the afro.
Yeah, the Fletch has got to be. And Air Bud.
Air Bud is not on the
we've
list.
Really,
Air
we've really...
He was amazing.
I love that. The Teen Wolf, Michael J. Fox's Teen Wolf.
Yeah, I threw that out there immediately.
But Jimmy Chitwood, in his game today, I mean, I don't know if his game today would his game today translate?
Like Billy Hoyle from White Man Can't Jump, right?
Yeah. Sidney Dean.
Okay. He played a little semi-pro, right?
Yep.
Fact is, I don't think any one of our viewers are going to say this, but above the rim.
Oh, yeah.
Kyle from above the rim went to Georgetown, or even Shep, pure talent, fatal flaw. I mean, great handles. He played without a basketball, for Pete's sake.
Oh, right. Yeah, exactly.
You know, so
yeah.
Kyle or Shep, but I don't think we're going to put them on the list, and they should be on the list.
All I want is I don't want this to be NBA players playing anymore.
Yeah, I don't
just can't have it.
That's a good...
The guy that Kevin Bacon went to Africa for the air up there.
Right.
The air up there.
Okay, that's not bad.
Like, I mean,
you can't even use Patrick Ewing as the Monstar from Monstar Patrick Ewing.
Oh, does the Monstar make the list?
Yeah.
Is that right? One of the Monstars?
I know.
Bugs Bunny.
I told you I watched that the other day.
So good.
Space Jam.
Yes, and just seeing thin, fit Charles Barkley in Madison Square Garden as a Phoenix Sun acting because his sports essence has just been removed from his body on live television.
So this is eliminating Julius Irving as Moses Guthrie from The Fish That Saved Pittsburgh. The Good Doctor,
that.
My favorite player of all time. Is okay. I'm just making sure.
Correct. Pittsburgh. You
know, does Jackie Moon get a gig? Jackie Moon absolutely is in this. Absolutely, Jackie Moon is a great choice.
We now have Jackie Moon
and who else?
What if we go hour one, we have four. Hour two, we have four.
No, it's not a tournament. Bracket we just need style. To do.
Well, we're never going to cut it down.
And then I got to invite Billis to be the guy who breaks it down.
Sure. That was like our
like
first
Jimmy
thought.
Chitwood, Jackie Moon, Billy Hoyle.
Yeah. There
I
you
think
go.
We're
there
getting. You go. We got three of four.
Guys, you can't
and
have team Jimmy Wolf. Chitwood and Billy Hoyle on the. Let's think about this. That's not going to
Billy Hoyle's like Steve Nash.
Okay, then you can't have Chitwood and. What was. We'll talk about this at the break. I'll explain to you why you can't have
this.
By
the way.
Chitwood is like, you know, the Paul Pierson. He's like the small forward who can shoot.
Above the rim. Okay. Kyle would eat all those guys' lunch.
He didn't play with the basketball.
That was Shep, you see. There's a difference.
Let's take a break. Kyle Brandt. Well, this seems like it's right up Kyle Brandt's alley. Good morning, football co-host Kyle Brandt and 10 Questions with Kyle Brandt podcast. We'll find out who his guest is this week when he comes back as our guest in a moment.
Now there are more ways to be a team with Microsoft Teams. With Together Mode, you can bring everyone together in one space in the same virtual room. You can bring the power of true collaboration to your projects with whiteboard, drawing, sharing, and building ideas in real time, all on the same page. And with large gallery view, you can see more of your team all at once with up to 49 people on screen, all at the same time. You can even raise your hand virtually so everyone can be seen and heard. When there are more ways to be together, there are more ways to be a team. Learn more about all the newest Teams features at Microsoft.com/Teams.
Back here on NBC Sports on Peacock, we're after Dan Patrick every day, leading to Brother from Another, and we're in the Florio Flauta. It starts with Pro Football Talk in the morning, ends with PFTPM in the early, late afternoon, now early evening. NBC Sports on Peacock streaming right now. And we say hello to our Peacock audience. Our phone number to dial, 844-204-RICH. We'll take the phone call with Kyle Brandt. Always a delight to have him on the show on Wednesdays. We had Lamar Jackson already dialing in earlier. Have we posted any part of that interview yet, Chris? Because I'd be keen to get that out as soon as possible.
Yeah, I'm working on it right now.
Certainly since when I asked him if he had any issues, you know, if there were, it just seemed that things were tougher this year. His answer was quite interesting, especially since part of his answer was that the defense is calling the plays out before the snap. So we're back here on the Rich Eisen Show radio network, Mightier 1090 and Sirius XM Channel 211 are our flagships on that front. And before Scott Van Pelt joins us at the top of our next hour, along with David Cross, the funny David Cross in the next hour, and Nate Boyer will be joining us in about 20 minutes' time. We welcome our friend from Good Morning Football back on the show. And he's back with 10 questions with Kyle Brandt. We're all we're on The Ringer and Spotify. That's where his podcast can be gotten. How are you, Kyle Brandt?
I'm good, and I'm intrigued, Rich, by what I just heard regarding Lamar Jackson, the reigning MVP of the league in the middle of the season, saying he's going under center. And am I correct in saying he told you defenses are calling out what play the Ravens are going to run?
Kyle, I asked him, my first question was like, it looks like things are coming tougher this year. Uh-huh. In other words, not as easy as last year looked. What would you say to that? And he basically said it, part of his answer was the defense is calling a lot of our plays out before the snap. And I said, what do you mean? And he basically said, run, pass. Like he's, you know, and as you know, there's no fans in the stands, so it's much easier to communicate where, not, you know, certain places there are some fans, but not the same amount. That was one of those moments as an interviewer, like, did I kind of catch that one? You know,
I'm having that moment as a guest. I'm like, did the host just say that he asked a prior guest and that's what they said? Rich, that's a big, big bite, especially since, I mean, as you know, like, the Ravens are national this week. Of all the teams to play against when you think they might know what you're running, they're playing the New England Patriots. So, I'm staggered by that bite.
Yeah, that's what he said earlier today. But, you know, also said that Dez is already a leader on the team. That was of interest to hear, is that that he's already chiming in. And he also, you know, confirmed what John Harbaugh mentioned earlier today. It looks like Ingram's going to be back. Mm-hmm. So, what do you think of the Ravens here? That's kind of the AFC team that we're not really, like, once the Steelers beat them, we've kind of put to the wayside a little bit, thinking this is the Chiefs and Steelers world, and we're now focused on the Thursday night game first up with the Colts and the Titans. What do you think of the Steelers so far?
I think you brought it up perfectly. They need some energy. They need a little bit of the moxie, of the party, of the swagger. They're a very good team. They're one of the other guys, though. You know, the word elite is not getting attached to Baltimore Ravens right now because welcome to the new reality. Ravens fans want to complain, you give us no credit. I'm giving you a compliment. I'm saying that great things are expected of the Baltimore Ravens, Super Bowl things. So 6-2 for a lot of teams, you're having Mardi Gras. But when you lose to Pittsburgh and you lose again to Kansas City and you just sort of feel like a little flat. And I think there's a reason that Mark Ingram has been out. He's the energizer. And Dez Bryant is instant energy, and the fact that they need that is a little alarming. If I'm one of those other guys in the wide receiver room, of which they are not massive names, I would say, why are you bringing in Dez Bryant? We're not doing enough. You're going to bring a guy who hasn't played in a couple of years, who his best football is allegedly behind him? I would be motivated by that. So if they have a point where their energy is a little flat, and they're getting back their guy in Ingram, and they're getting Dez Bryant, who I don't know if he can catch a ball or not, but I know he brings passion, it's time to go. We are not early. We are in the back half, as you know, Rich. And if the Ravens are going to take a run at this thing, it's time to start playing good ball.
I agree with you. Where do you stand on the NFC now that the Saints boat race the Bucs? Seattle got smoked by Buffalo. We did see Tua go toe-to-toe with Kyler Murray. Green Bay did start the week with a win, but it was against a San Francisco B or C team. What are your
thoughts right now on the NFC going into the back half of the season?
Well, Saints-Bucks was a staggering game. I couldn't believe what I was seeing. I felt like a lot of the other people. And I remember going into that game, you're trying to pick how it's going to go, and they're both teams are so good and everything. And it occurred to me that one of them was a really good team, and I was worried that one of them was a really good collection of parts. And that turned out to be exactly what it was, with Tampa Bay being the collection of parts. And it's like that game, it felt like if you were to play a seven-game series or even one game, would you rather have the world champion Los Angeles Lakers, the regular roster, or would you rather have the Eastern All-Star team with Giannis and everybody who goes with it? I think you'd rather have the Lakers because they're a real team. They're not a collection of toys. And that's what Tampa Bay looked like to me. The play that killed me that night was that really bad-looking interception on the far side to Antonio Brown, where they were not in the same chapter of the same book of the same volume, Encyclopedia Britannica. Antonio Brown pulled up short, Brady threw long. And again, I'm kind of thinking, what is he doing out there? They needed him on that team, and I know it was we're gonna take it to the next level, and we're gonna win a Super Bowl with this move, and that's the move. And I don't know. You had really good receivers, and you bring in a really mercurial at best guy, and now it's hurting the football. I have a friend with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, Rich, that I text with sometimes, pretty high up guy, and I remember a couple of weekends ago. When it happened on Saturday night, I think, when they got Antonio and it was happening, I text him, I go, are you guys really bleeping getting Antonio Brown? And all he texted back was a GIF, and it was a GIF of a poker player pushing a giant stack of chips right to the middle of the table.
Mm-hmm.
And listen, it's a huge gamble, and I did not like what I saw. Never mind the off-the-field stuff, which is unsavory to say the lightest. The on-field was off, too. And if Brady's going to sit there and force it to the guy who stays in his house all the time, I don't know. Throw it to Evans and Godwin. It was a really weird night. And that leaves me in a long-winded way to answer your question. I guess the Saints right now are the truth. This is the team that we don't know if we can trust in the playoffs. So everybody buckle up.
Yeah, I know. And Seattle's defense is on pace, use the sports phrase, of some pretty unprecedentedly bad numbers. And we saw the Bills slice them up. Now we'll see what happens with the Rams coming off of a bye week. And, you know, I just don't want to sleep on Green Bay. I just don't want to sleep on them because, again, just because there's only three players on their team that fantasy owners have does not mean they're not a Super Bowl contender. You know, you're going to throw Robert, funny. Don't
it's
call
like,
me Tanyan.
It's the greatest
Tanyan.
Compliment
I mean, seriously.
To those guys. Be like, you know, yeah. I'm looking at your team, and you're wildly flawed. I don't mean just, you know, the baseball card has a little bit of the corner that's pulled back. Like, the thing is messed up. It's not even close to a perfect team.
Right.
But it still feels like a Onus Wagner, like Aaron Rodgers. It still feels that good. Heavily flawed team. I look at them, I think we're inevitably going to see, Rich, for the ninth time in their careers, Russell Wilson versus Aaron Rodgers. Because I feel like they're the same team. Prolific quarterbacks, wildly flawed teams that I don't think are good enough to win a Super Bowl, but are going to run into each other for the ninth time, and they're 4-4, and the home team always wins. So I love those teams too, but as in the same breath that you say, I love Green Bay, and I do too, I didn't even recognize them against Tampa, who I didn't even recognize against New Orleans. The snake is eating its tail.
I know. It's Saints beat Bucks, who beat Packers, who, and it just goes on and on and on.
And they were in the movie with Kevin Bacon. It's
yes,
crazy.
They were, in fact, just a couple of steps removed from Flash, from all sorts
Footloose.
Of Footloose and all that stuff. Yeah. So, and then there's the Monday Nighter, where there's a 3-5 team with a lot better and more going for it than the 5-4 team. And I'm just, I mean, that's the fact. That's a fact, and it feels like the Bears are the ones that whose season is basically over, and they're playing out a string, and they're the ones who are a game and a half in front of the Vikings because of the way that they've looked the last couple of weeks, respectively. These two teams, I don't mean to keep throwing it on you, but I know you're a Bears guy. Do you think we're going to reach the point this Monday, maybe, of lamenting the fact that Trubisky's not healthy enough to be an option? That we finally have reached that part of the 2020 season?
Yeah, I think what you're looking for the Bears is you're just craving, you're just thirsting for rock bottom so we can start to rebuild, which is why I welcome the question. I'm glad you brought it up. I did kind of a strange experiment on Sunday. I was watching the game on my couch, and I was just I knew it was going to be a miserable game. I was under no delusion that all of a sudden they're going to start pulling touchdowns out of their backside. I wrote down as the game was happening what the Bears' drives were to start the game. Rich, I'm not making this up. This is the Chicago Bear offense through three quarters against the Tennessee Titans defense, which has been lit up. This is how the drives went, as followed. Turnover on downs. Punt. 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 Halftime. Punt. Fumble, which was returned for a touchdown by the defense. That's the three quarters. That's what we're at. And now we're just going to sit in it. Because Monday night, you play the Vikings on national television. It's you just sit in it, and everyone's going to watch. It's like peeing in the bathtub. There's nowhere to, you're going to sit in it and enjoy it, and that's your mess that you made. And now Dalvin Cook's going to run for another 200 yards. So I think we're at the rock bottom. I think we made it there.
And
it's
yet,
a hell of a season, Rich.
And yet, you know, if you want to talk rock bottom, Kyle, not to go toe-to-toe with you here, Rock bottom to me would to be up by 10 on your hated rivals in division in front of a Monday Night Football audience.
Yeah.
Getting set to shock them by handing them their fifth consecutive loss for the first time since the mid-90s. And then only possess the ball for 84 seconds throughout a fourth quarter in which your four plays that you do have is an interception on the first drive, a first play, and then a dump off over the middle to your running back to keep the clock rolling a little bit to make sure the other team doesn't just get the ball right back. But then you do give him the ball right back by taking a sack and then snapping the ball with 18 seconds left on the play clock and then losing. That to go to 0-9, I'd say that's rock bottom. That's what I would go with.
It's such a weird fever dream watching that team. It's Joe Flacco throwing passes to Frank Gore. It's like a Jets Comic-Con where everyone's dressed up in their Jets costumes but not uniforms, and it really did happen. I was cracking up the other day, Rich. I want to hear your thoughts on this. I'm channel surfing, and I don't get to see it much anymore. I used to watch it a lot when I was young, but I stumbled upon the last couple minutes of PTI. And they were lamenting, Tony and Mike, about the Jets. And they were saying that the only Jets highlight in history, in the entire history of the organization, is Joe Namath with the finger point as he runs off. That's the only one. And I said, that can't possibly be true. Is that the only one?
Well, I mean, it's the only one in which they won the Super Bowl. I mean, come on now.
But is there another highlight, a great, great, iconic, I guess Can't Wait from Bart Scott is pretty good after beating the Patriots.
Yeah.
But that was the divisional round.
I mean, and
Kyle, lest you forget the butt fumble, man.
Oh,
yeah, well, that's what I mean. That's what
well, I mean, you could, yes, you could make a list of the famous highlight moments of the Jets, and then a list of the famous highlight in quote moments for the Jets that would have the butt fumble and obviously the fake spike for Marino. And we could go on. It's probably a longer list. It is, but I don't know why I need to be kicked in the teeth that way too. Certainly with,
I was trying to search for solutions. I can't find any,
especially, you know, and I worked myself up yesterday. I frequently do when it comes to the subject of this team, that Steve Young was the latest to say to Trevor Lawrence, you don't want to go to the Jets. And, you know, and as I pointed out yesterday, I mean, like, Trevor Lawrence could be Broadway Trevor by going to New York. And I know that they've broken Sam Darnold, but they would absolutely get the cream of the crop coach who wouldn't want to be attached to Trevor Lawrence's hip right off the get-go in New York City, right? I mean, who wouldn't want to do that right now in a division that is habitually, even though it does appear to be better, but habitually so low that Tom Brady in year 20 gets swept by a division opponent for the first time in his career.
Yes.
So, you know, who wouldn't do that? Especially since, too, if you want to talk about marketing, you take a solid receiver, slot receiver, and he does a single salsa dance, and he still has a career 10 years after playing. You know, I mean, let's just talk about what New York City really is. That's,
yeah,
I don't know. I mean, just
Michael Strahan is big, larger than life.
Justin Tuck sold $5 footlongs for, you know, for a decade, man. I mean, so that might've been Strahan too. So, all right, before I let you go, Kyle, you've got Joel McHale, right? That's who's your guest this week?
Yeah, I know he's a friend of yours as well. He did an unbelievable job on 10 questions, had an historic final score, and we got into talking about hosting Rich. You would love it. And I was, he's had so many different types of jobs. And I was, you know, I tried to ask him, like, what was the most challenging or what was the most exhilarating? He tells this story of hosting the White House Correspondents' Dinner.
Mm-hmm.
And oh my goodness. Now, he got to do it second term Obama, so there's no election looming. Everyone's just relaxed. But he gets up in that room, and there's a million politicians, a million powerful people. This was a few years ago, so Chris Christie jokes were big at the time. Jessica Simpson was there, and he did a 20-minute roast of everybody in the room. The way he tells the story about, is the script run by the White House? Do they look at it? Do they cross things out? Absolutely amazing. I was dying at the end of it. He has to follow the president, too. So you know, Joel, you've had him on. Like, he is razor sharp. The way he tells the story and the way he gets into all of this stories of his career, it was one of the best ones we've ever done.
That's great. 10 Questions with Kyle Brandt podcast available, again, The Ringer and Spotify. Previous guests to check out, Adam Devine, Patton Oswalt, Tim Robbins, obviously so much to talk about with him. And again, it's every Wednesday a new episode drops, as the kids would say. Before I do let you go, I'd love to have you help us here at the show. Last week, we did a segment based on The Waterboy being in theaters 22 years prior. It was an anniversary of The Waterboy. Which NFL player deserved first overall pick status? And we chose fictional NFL player. We chose Bobby Boucher, Johnny Utah, Willie Beeman, and Forrest Gump. And Daniel Jeremiah called in. I don't know if you saw it, but he stuck the landing with him. He had scouting reports on all four of the guys. It was amazing.
It was a glistening appearance by DJ. I believe he said that Boucher plays better than he measures, or bigger than he weighs. And it was as if he was breaking down any prospect you've ever heard coming out, from Andy Katzenmoyer to Luke Kuechly. It was so good and so such a great idea. And he was right, by the way. I was fascinated by Boucher's immeasurables. Boucher probably better in the 70s era, where they allowed more contact. There was still the wedge-busting factor on special teams. Now, probably a lot of personal fouls. But I loved DJ's breakdown, and I'm team Boucher as well.
Right, and one of the red flags for Forrest Gump is he was just a straight-line runner. He had problems. He was just fantastic. So we're thinking just
injury,
like,
concerns on Utah, of course. It was really, really good. Not as good as something else, though, Rich, and I would be loath if I did not bring this up.
Sure.
And I made sure that when I called in today, I wanted to say something about this.
Okay.
Please allow me to say how happy, impressed, and, if I may, proud I was of you on Sunday during game day morning, when you clearly broke free from your planned rundown and your format for the show that morning and gave that incredible speech about Alex Trebek, who had just passed, I'm sure, in the middle of the show. I was standing applauding.
Oh, thanks,
it was
man.
So good, and I'm so glad you did that.
Oh, thanks, Kyle. I appreciate that. I mean, the guy's a television icon, a broadcasting legend, and obviously, you know, merited, even on a football show, pausing and paying respects. And for me personally, I mean, he's one of the all-time greats. I actually wrote down in my notes the greatest of all time, and then I thought there's Bob Barker, who's still alive as well. And Bob, I mean, you know, Alex Trebek and Bob Barker are truly two of the greatest broadcasters of all time. So I definitely wanted to say that. But I appreciate you saying that. The reason why I brought all of this up is we're thinking of recycling this idea, as we always do in this business that we are in, where we come up with content every day.
Sure.
Before I let you go, we want to do it because the NBA draft's next week. We want to come up with four fictional movie basketball characters.
Okay.
And the problem is, though, is unlike football characters, basketball characters are mostly played by actual basketball players in movies.
Yes.
So we're not going to come up with a list of players as who's worthy of being drafted as a lottery pick. And the choices are essentially Shaquille O'Neal, Penny Hardaway, and Ray Allen. You know what I mean? Like, we're not going to do that. So we've come up with a handful of them. Wondering if there's any that we're missing.
I'd love to hear what you got.
We've decided on Jackie Moon makes the cut.
Yeah, Jackie Moon. Yeah, yeah.
Jackie Moon makes the cut.
Okay.
Billy Hoyle.
Billy Hoyle makes the cut.
Have to have Hoyle.
Yeah. We're thinking about Teen Wolf.
Teen Wolf making the cut.
Yeah.
Right? Air Bud, I like.
Yeah, I don't know if we can go. I don't know if we can.
All right, now
Jimmy Chitwood, maybe.
Are we talking about Scott Howard in Teen Wolf? Are we talking about the wolf?
I think we're talking about the wolf.
We're talking about the wolf.
Yeah, the actual wolf.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
If you're talking about the wolf, I have some takes on that, and I've watched the game tape exhaustively. The Wolf, one of the more overrated players, and I'll tell you why. It's purely a sort of a Russell Westbrookian explosion to the basket. We know he doesn't pass or share the ball or make anybody better, but we never get to see the Wolf hit a shot from anywhere outside the paint. I don't think the Wolf can shoot. So if he's going to line up ever against a defensive stopper in the Bruce Bowen or Rajah Bell mold, I think the Wolf could really be a liability on the team. I don't think the Wolf has a shot.
Okay. The Wolf is like Ben Simmons. Ooh. He can't shoot.
Yes. I think they're just backing off the Wolf, yeah. Daring at him to shoot, making fun of him, cracking jokes at Boof to incite his rage, which he also has. And we saw it at the bowling alley. There's a temper. There's off the court concerns for the Wolf.
No.
And I don't think he has the mid-range or deep jumper.
So maybe that's a problem. We can't even consider him.
Because again, Will Smith and Fresh Prince. Like, we're just trying to throw names.
We're
out
thinking
there.
Of throwing this in front of Billis next week. I got to call him to check it out.
Well, he's the guy. But yeah, Air Bud, sure. Like Mike, Jimmy Chitwood, of course.
Like
legend.
Mike. Wait a minute, yeah. Lil Bow Wow from Like Mike.
Yeah.
With the shoes, obviously, right?
Yes, with the magic shoes.
With the magic shoes.
Marvin the Martian had some key buckets in the game against the Monstars. There's lots of potential for bench, but for your starters, you might want to think like Mike.
Does Jimmy Chitwood make it? I know he's a high school player, and obviously he was the best player on Hickory, but I don't think he probably had much of a college career. You know,
pure shooter. Also, coachability concerns.
Desire
in his own shot.
Desire.
And he listens to his coach sometimes. Yeah. So I'm a little worried about that. But I mean, listen, if you can work on him, if you mold him, if you have an educator as your head coach, because that's the next question, Rich. Who's gonna coach this team?
Good question.
Do you have the Gene Hackman character? I don't know. Is it Bill Murray? Is Samuel L. Jackson?
Whoopi Goldberg.
Yeah, Whoopi Goldberg, of course. Yeah.
Juana Man.
Yeah.
Do we have Juana Man? Do we go with Juana?
Oh, how about hold on. What about that Whoopi play the coach, right? Was that Eddie?
Sure.
Yeah, I like that. Whoopi will get those guys in line.
I think we're around the edges here. We're workshopping it, but Jackie Moon is in and Billy Hoyle's in, correct? Have we agreed
those
on that?
Those two are in.
All right. We got two more spots for our
Isn't Dean not on the team and Billy Hoyle is? Isn't he more talented?
That's not a bad one.
I mean, ball handler, explosive. You know, he's a little talk to talk. I'd almost rather work with Dean's talent than Hoyle, because as we know, Hoyle, you know, can't jump. It's
that
literally the name of the movie.
That gets ruined for me because in real life, Wesley Snipes, terrible basketball player.
Is that right?
Okay. Well,
I didn't know that.
The reality of this is what's key.
Yeah. Let's just. We need to suspend our disbelief.
Sorry.
Okay.
In real life, I don't think the Air Bud dog can take the basketball in its mouth and shoot. And Michael J. Fox is not
actually
a
werewolf.
Thank you for the call, Kyle. We appreciate it as always. You take care, brother.
Rich. Thanks, man.
Yeah, you got it. It's Kyle Brandt at Kyle Brandt on Twitter. Check him out, Good Morning Football, every day, 7 a.m. And then, of course, every Wednesday, the latest episode of 10 Questions with Kyle Brandt. Joel McHale is his guest. We'll come back. We'll have a great chat with Nate Boyer here on Veterans Day. 844-204-RICH, number to dial on The Rich Eisen Show. Now, there are more ways to be a team with Microsoft Teams. Bring everyone together in one space with a new virtual room. Collaborate live. Drawing, sharing, and building ideas with everyone on the same page. And make sure more of your team is seen and heard with up to 49 people on screen at once. Learn more about all the newest Teams features at Microsoft.com/Teams. Back here on Peacock, before Nate Boyer joins us here on Veterans Day, I want to, Don, if you don't mind, please put up... I saw your Instagram post today, Mikey.
Yeah, Rich.
About your dad.
Yep.
I thought that was beautiful. Today would have been his birthday. Today?
Yeah. Veterans Day.
And you put up this photograph of him. You know, I guess what just
he was a DJ while he was in the Army. While he was serving in the Army, and he used to play the music for this.
You guys are like literally cut from. I mean, you look just like your dad, man.
Yeah. Great. Like story. I am a spinning image.
And so this was he was a DJ in the Army
for Korea, for the Korean War. He actually served and he did this kind of as an extra because he was an MP, which was funny because I was a cop too for a minute. But and then he loved music
so much.
Look at
that picture right there.
It's insane.
That's a great photo. What year is that? Do you know?
Well, if it's the Korean War, the early 50s, right?
Wow. I think that was in Africa.
Okay.
Because he went He went to a few different places, but that was, I believe, in Africa.
All right, we're back here on the Rich Eisen Show. We just took a look at a picture of Mike's dad. Beautiful picture, man.
Thank you,
Wanted to get put up there. There he is DJing in the Army during the Korean War, and today would have been his birthday. And obviously, that's a neat post to memory of your late dad.
Thanks.
Also
Happy birthday,
here on
Pops.
Also here Thank on you. Veterans Day. I got a text this morning from my buddy Nate Boyer saying, hey, check out what I wrote in the Players Tribune if you got a second. It is beautiful. And I'm like, let's have Nate call in and give some voice to the piece that, again, is posted on the Players Tribune. And it is entitled, let me make sure I get this correct, A Letter to My Present Self. There it is. Nate Boyer here on the Rich Eisen Show. How are you, Nate?
I'm doing okay, Rich. How are you doing,
bro? I am doing well, sir. So I give you the floor on what this is about and what you'd love for people to go to theplayerstribune.com and read about this.
Yeah, you know, it's Veterans Day, obviously. And it's an important day for our country. It's an important day for a lot of people. And then it should be an important day for veterans. And, you know, this is sort of... it's been a tough year for everybody out there in the world. And, you know, going through a lot of personal growth stuff and just trying to get to this point, an understanding and an appreciation for myself, which sounds really weird to say and really hard to say, I think, from a veteran standpoint. People thank us for our service a lot, you know, and we're always willing to help and be there for one another and be there for other people as well. But we struggle a lot with being there for ourselves and loving ourselves and accepting love, you know, and appreciation. I think for me growing up, I always felt like I didn't deserve it. I felt like I got dealt a decent hand and it's just not fair. It's not fair. And that's what led me to do a lot of things that I did, including fighting for my country, which I loved. It's torn me apart. It's torn me apart because I've tried to do all these big things and have spent my whole life trying to save the world and not let people help me and save me, you know? And, at the end of the day, I need saving more than anybody. And I just want every veteran out there listening and people that aren't veterans, you know, that just struggle with that, to understand that, you know, you are worth it. You're valuable. What you did, what you do every day, it is a piece of you, good and the bad, but it doesn't define you. And to just appreciate, you know, who you are and who you're trying to be, and just be still with that. I recently lost something pretty damn important to me. It's the most important thing to me. And it was in the midst of doing all these big things that I love and you know, have a heart for. But it wasn't until I completely lost it did I realize what I had and who I had. And, you know, in the amount of people and the amount of love that had been given to me that I just wouldn't accept, that I would just deny. And it hung in the universe for 10 years, maybe longer. 20 years, I don't know. And now I'm finally starting to accept it and feel it and try to just be open to it. And it's really hard. It's really heavy. But it's something that I think is really important. And it's just a moment for me right now to reflect on that and thank myself and say Happy Veterans Day to myself. And let people, you know, shower me with love, and only then can I think truly give it back when I'm willing to receive it.
Well, it's important. It's important, and it's important for you to feel that way, Nate, because so many people do depend on you to give it back to them. I mean, everybody that's involved with them, you know, merging vets and players, and everybody that does look to you as a rock. You know, you are a rock for a lot of people, Nate. I've seen it in person. I know it. We're showing photographs of it. I mean, this is a fact. So I hope you do allow people to say this to you and what you're referring to of what you've lost, that it is something that you can in some way regain elsewhere or through someone else, you deserve it. That's a fact.
I appreciate that, Rich. I do. We all do. We all really do.
You know, and so this is all in your piece, essentially, in the Players Tribune today, or this is the essence of the piece, is what you're saying?
Yeah, I think this is the essence of it, and I think it's a, you know, I think it's important, like I said, not just for veterans, but for people on days like this that, you know, I don't know, so many of us want to deflect because we feel like either we don't deserve it, we haven't earned it, or it's uncomfortable, you know, when people say thank you. And it's okay to say you're welcome. It's okay to okay to take it.
Sure.
And, you know, and it's, I don't know, they bang it in your head, man, when you're serving that, you know, it's of course you're not individuals out there. We never are. But also it's just hard to, very hard to accept accept gratitude, I guess. I don't know why. I really don't know why. And a lot of it, I mean, a lot of us, it's growing up, and that's why we ran to the military. We wanted to fight for something bigger than us because we felt like we weren't worth fighting for. And it's not true. It's not true.
It is not true. And everyone, check out again this piece at theplayerstribune.com, and check out Nate at Nate Boyer 37, and check out again Merging Vets and Players. It's an incredible organization. Before I let you go, Nate, I'm seeing you Sunday, right? I'm seeing you Sunday.
You're seeing me Sunday. That's right.
At NFL we'll Network. Tell my buddy Chris Brockman, everybody else in the audience, what are we doing Sunday? This is fun.
Well, you know, it's Salute to Service month through the NFL, and you know, today is Veterans Day, and obviously we want to honor everybody that served every day, but it's a special time to really reflect on that, and you know, so just be able to come in and. You know, and share these stories again, share our stories, honor one another, lift each other up. I know, you know, the difference between Memorial Day and Veterans Day, we actually talked about this on Memorial Day on your show, Rich. But there's still an element of honoring that those that didn't make it back to, or those that are back home right now and are struggling, you know, left a piece of them overseas, a big piece of them. We got to bring them all home, you know? And so for me, like, that's what Veterans Day is all about. And when we come in on Sunday for NFL Network, it's an opportunity for once again the league to show their support. There's an incredible partnership, not just through MVP, but through, I think, a lot of the players in the league and organizations and fans and the military. And Salute to Service is a really important month, and especially this year. You know, we need to love on each other a little bit more.
No
we need to
doubt,
appreciate
Nate.
Each other, and this is an opportunity to do that.
Well, I'll give you a virtually a social distant hug when I see you on Sunday, and I appreciate the time. And you know, please do accept my gratitude and everyone's thanks. You deserve to do that, and so do all of the men and women who have served, and those, as we remember today, who did not come home. Truly, Nate, you're the best.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Rich. I love you, brother.
He's right back at you. Right back at you. I'll see you Sunday. That's Nate Boyer.
Best.
Right here on the Rich Eisen Show. One of the many things I just love about Nate is he gives himself so much and of himself so much. And now you know why he and Glazer are friends.
Yeah.
Right.
They sound the same. They talk the same. They just talk about what's inside and what they're feeling. And the sharing of it. The sharing of what's in your heart and your mind and how it's not going so well and how the outward look might seem like it's going so well, but the inward thoughts and feelings are not going so well is not a sign of weakness. It is a sign of strength. And I respect it and I love it because not everybody that looks like it's going so well is feeling so great in their hearts and in their minds. So if you are one of those veterans out there that's feeling like that right now, well, clearly Nate is as well. And I just want to say thank you, really, from the bottom of my heart, from my family's heart, for being on that wall and providing us that blanket of protection so we have a great democracy where we can all vote. Such an emotional time. That's it for the second hour of our show. Scott Van Pelt will join us from Augusta and David Cross in a moment.
Now there are more ways to be a team with Microsoft Teams. Bring everyone together in a new virtual room, collaborate live, building ideas on the same page, and see more of your team on screen at once. Learn more at Microsoft.com/Teams.